Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Know his excellency of speech by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Enjoy the Spirit.
This morning, I'll have a taste of you in a new dimension. I'll taste you in a new dimension. I'll see you in a new light. I'll see you in the light that matters most at this moment. It will cause me to experience you in a fresh way. Lord, help me to experience you in a fresh way. Cause me to experience you in a fresh way. I have been tasting different sides of you, but this morning, I want to have a fresh taste. I want to have a new taste. I want to have an upgraded taste. Lord, help us. Lord, help us. Lord, help us today. Help us today. Help us, Lord. Help us, Jesus. Help us today. Help us today. Help us today. Help us today. We've been crying and we've been expecting to have you visit us in a particular way. We pray that, Lord, this moment, let it be that moment when you come to us, just the way you should come to us at this time for maximum impact, for maximum transformation in our hearts, in our lives, in our ministry, in our church, in Power and Glory Tabernacle as a body. Let it be, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Can you welcome your neighbor to church? Say welcome, sister. Welcome, brother. Welcome. Welcome. I think we have a lot of follow-up to do and a lot of evangelism. Let's see the heart air. What God is saying to the church. Hallelujah. It's a very great privilege for me this morning to be here. Yesterday we finished Bible study. I was here, ready to go. And Pastor just called and I got him. Was like, "Don't take message that I'm like, ah." Just like that. Thank you so much for the privilege. We don't take it for granted. I do not take it for granted. It's such a great privilege. I really count it a great privilege. Thank you very much, sir. Mommy, happy birthday. This is the first time we are seeing you since your birthday. Happy birthday, ma. God bless you, ma. Mommy Yogi, happy birthday. And then there's John the Beloved, the son of thunder. Happy birthday. His birthday was yesterday. Where is he at? Yeah. So with him at the gate, you can be sure, no problem. He's the son of thunder. Hallelujah. Anybody else celebrating birthday last week or this week? Anybody? Who's that? But Ebrayology, it was last Sunday. It was duly celebrated right here. Hallelujah. Amen. It's a very great privilege to be here. You are blessed to be here this morning. Because I believe the word of God is coming in a new way and our hearts will receive what he has got to give. Pastor Bello, thank you very much. It's always an inspiration to have you around. Mommy Bello, thank you, ma. Pastor Ogidon, Pastor Dele, Pastor Joshua. I was in his Bible study class this morning. It was so refreshing. Pastor Jayola is in Ileoluji right now with Brother Shiju and Deacon Paul, all of them. Pastor Felix, I'm very sure probably he's listening. I don't know. You are blessed, Pastor Felix, wherever you are. Amen. Thank you, everybody. I'm trying to gather myself together because... Hallelujah. Okay, yes. During the prayers last week, you know, after the youth convention, I was tempted to tell Pastor that maybe for the last week, we should allow the fasting and prayer go because we've been very busy. But thank God. You see, just like we've been saying, we are late already, so we have to do everything we have to do. It will not be convenient. You'll have to suffer, you know, you'll have to suffer to do some of these things. You know, it's not easy to not eat from morning till, say, 9 p.m. in the night after church and all that. It's part of the suffering. It's not because you don't have food, but because, just like I was saying, you see, it's more suffering. You know, if you don't have food to eat and you're hungry and you cannot get food anyhow, what can you do? But now you have food, but you cannot eat. For me, I think that's a greater suffering. Like you need to be a man to do that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So this morning, like during the, you know, like right from the convention, I don't know, I've been having all these thoughts about heart, seed, word, and all those things. And the fact remains that you cannot be a prepared people if your heart is not right for the seed of the word of God that is being sown in that heart. So whatever preparation it is we are getting, it's like I'm outgrowing these glasses. I think now I just need something that will block out the light. I've been praying for this, but it's like I'm insisting on using the glasses. So right now it's a bit more inconvenient, and I think I can see. All I just need is something to remove glare. So that fine boy glass Pastor gave us comes handy here. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right. So I'll be talking about the heart like that. And during my prayer session, I was able to go through the parable of the sower. And, you know, I was thinking about this again, that what exactly should I be talking about? And I still see that we should have dealings in that side. And that is why this morning I'm talking about the dimensions of God's word. The dimensions of God's word. Brother Kenny Akinubi, where are you? Yes, he led the prayer this morning and he just entered the message. Now, wow. And sincerely, he gave me, like before now, I had scriptures to look at. But he gave me the text scripture while he was saying that thing. And that is Deuteronomy chapter 32. So you see, the 1 minute you're coming here to spend, you don't even know what you're doing. You might just transform somebody's life forever. So if you're called to pray to lead us in prayer for 1 minute, that's a lot. That 1 minute can be an investment, eternal investment in somebody's life. When you say that thing, I'm like, which kind of brother is this? But of course, you see, that's what happens if you release yourself to the Holy Spirit. That's what happens if you release yourself to the Holy Spirit. I think I have the special privilege of recognizing my friend from way back from primary school. Moses Francisco is his name. Yeah. Yeah. Like, he attended a private primary school. And I attended a public one, local authority. But LA. Yes, I attended LA, local authority, like literally. Los Angeles, okay. All right, so, you know, he came from a private school, so excellent. So he left in primary 4, I was in primary 6, so he came to Rice Common Entrance with us. We got into Badagry Grammar School together and we've been very good friends. We went to the same school in Victoria Island too, Federal College of Fisheries, so he studied fisheries. Let me just stop there. I know he's feeling embarrassed already. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, so I'm talking about the dimensions of God's word, and I'm looking at Deuteronomy chapter 32. That's my anchor scripture this morning. Thank you, Brother Kenny Akinubi, for making me see that scripture. Deuteronomy 32, verses 1 and 2. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 1 and 2. Great. Now, this is Moses talking. He said, "Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak." I think this is the last, it was at the end of this chapter that he passed out. And see, pay attention to what a dying man is saying. Okay, like the most important was a man that is dying. The final words a dying man says are like some of the most important things you'll ever hear from the person. So this is Moses getting ready to go. "Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. 2. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew." Okay, so there's a rain dimension, there's a dew dimension as we see here. "As a small rain upon the tender herb." So if you put if there's a heavy downpour on tender herbs, they might be washed away. Okay, and then, "and as the showers upon the grass." Grass can withstand showers because they are a bit more firmly rooted. And that is why every one of us, there's a phase of life you are in right now. And the kind of, the way the word of God should come to you, it can't come to me like that, because probably we are not at the same phase. Probably we are going through different things. And, you know, God is so excellent that he can customize your own word for you the way it should come. You know, I think it's, is it 1 Timothy now, 2:15 or so, that says that the word of God is for reproof, is for rebuke, is for everything. So the word of God, for some people, it will slap you. For some, it will pamper you on the head. It comes out just the way it should come to you. And you know, in order to receive this administration accurately, our hearts need to be rightly positioned. So that's what I'm talking about, dimensions of the Word of God this morning. And as we see already, the Word of God is everything we need it to be. The Word of God is everything we need it to be. And, you know, for some of us, it is easier to accept that sweet side of the Word. You know, the one that tells you you will not suffer, which is true in a sense too. But there's another part that says you have food, but you cannot even eat it. That is also another one. So we have to, and that's what Pastor was trying to say, that our attitude is very important. So there's a particular administration of the Word that can come, and your heart is shut against it because you don't like to fellowship with that dimension of it. And we have to be ready to receive everything. Have you noticed that some of the most nutritious foods are not pleasant? For instance, iru is good for your eyes. Iru, locust beans, good for your eyes. But the smell can kill some people. Right? Beans is good for you. Well, how many of you, there are people here who have not eaten beans for the past 3 months. If you are like that, can I see your hands? I know. You know, beans is good for you. You know, there was this time growing up, anytime I took beans, I would have heartburns or I would purge and all those things. So at some point, it felt like, just stop, forget about beans altogether. But I know this thing is good for me. So of course, especially if you are in footer, you know, when everything is finished, beans will remain. And that is why I see somebody in a kinder, because one slide goes off, you just say, ah, ewa me. Like your beans is already inside water. I say it is well without fire, without light, right? So beans is good for you. Okra is good for you. Some people don't even eat anything that draws. You don't like it. But okra is very good to regulate your blood pressure. Sip okra. Hey, I'm coming to bitter leaf. You know I'm the bitter leaf expert. Now, you see, sometimes when we talk about not falling sick or anything, it's not because things don't happen, but we also know remedies. That's why, okay? Interestingly, I learned to eat bitter leaf from Daniel. I said, okay, yeah, this is my cousin. He's not in church. I think he's still tired from the journey or something. When he was 7, he wouldn't take tea. He wouldn't take any sweet thing. He only took anything that was bitter, like bitter cola, bitter leaf, things like that. And then, I think I should be up to 10 years older than him or something. But I could not, like, if it was time to struggle, like arm struggle, you had to really use Oboju to withstand him. And that's why you see him, he does, car will break down, the guy will just remove his shirt, get under the car. I'm like, how do you know these things? And he studied agronomy. Like, talk about anything. So, you see, the things that are really nutritious are usually not pleasant. And so, if you're only open to the ice cream part, there's an ice cream side of God. There's a Chicken Republic side of God. But then there's also an iru and bitter leaf ago side of God. And we need everything to be balanced, people. Seriously. If you care to go far with God, you cannot afford to shut off anything, any of these things. And you see, the trouble with most of us is that we have compartments that we open to God. And the others, you just say, see, this anger, don't touch it. It's our legacy. You know, we don't even come near. You can even take all my money. But this one, when people, nobody can cheat me and go away. See, if you want to go far with God, it's not every right you can claim. It's not every right you can claim. And, you know, you get into situations like that. You know what to do, but you can't do it. That's painful. Like, sometimes you even feel like you should even be killed than to see that somebody is cheating you and God is saying, shut up, don't say anything. So we need all of these dimensions to be balanced, to be thoroughly furnished unto every good work. So the Word of God is everything we need it to be, and that is why it answers to every situation in which we find ourselves. Whatever situation you are in. You know, there was this thing I learned. You know, I was really into all this motivational stuff when I was leaving secondary school. And, you know, I followed people like Miles Monroe, Ben Carson, Mike Murdock a lot. And one thing I learned from Mike Murdock, you know, he likes to talk about wisdom and wisdom and wisdom. May God help us that the things we preach will not turn around and bite us, or that will fall short of the things we preach. You know, he said that one thing, and I think it is very true, that you will never have any problem. The only problem you have is a wisdom problem. If you have a financial problem, it is most likely a wisdom problem. If you have a marital problem, it's most likely a wisdom problem. So, you know, he just said all of this, that whatever problem you have, there's a wisdom you need to tackle it or to even prevent it in the first place. And I think that's so accurate. And that is why one of the major prayers I pray is that, God, give me wisdom. Help me not to be foolish. Remove stupidity from me. I keep praying this prayer like every time, like they are part of me. And sincerely, I see God at work here. And that's why one of my best scriptures is Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7. What does it say again? For this moment that has gone. Wisdom is the principal thing. Alright? Yes. Wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom is the main thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. So, whatever issue you are in right now, you need to access the wisdom God has made available for this, to solve that problem. Hallelujah. So I'm looking at different dimensions of God's word. The first one, I'm looking at Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 28 and 29. Jeremiah 23, verse 28 and 29. The prophet. Now, of course, the context there is that in Jeremiah 23, the Bible was simply talking about prophets that were seeing visions. False prophets, for that matter. And they will come and they will say, God told me. And they were selling. Of course, we see prophets all around, and they are the ones everybody like to flock to. If tomorrow we turn to a prophetic ministry, you know, in that sense of the Ogo type, this place will be filled up. In fact, it will be, maybe in the next 1 month, we have to break this place down and start building. People cannot afford to fellowship with, they like, people like drama. I think that's the word. People just like drama. They just want to see people everywhere scattered. The prophet that has a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word. You see, those ones that have their false dreams. But the funny thing is that when they are telling the dream, they say it is still God. But they are wrong. But then God is saying, and he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? So the word from false prophets are chaff. But the word of the Lord is wheat. And there is there's something God does to all that. Verse 29, it's not my word like as a fire. The word of God is fire. Maybe there are people here today who need this dimension of God's word as fire. What does fire do? It consumes. It destroys. It purifies. And interestingly, the word of God is such a fire that destroys things that don't matter and leaves things that really will grow you. It will destroy the wheat and leave, it will destroy the chaff and leave the wheat to thrive. That is what the word of God is. Now, the word of God as fire may not be pleasant, because you see, there are standards of good. I don't even know if with this thing I'm wearing is gold, or it's most likely gold plated, I think, you know. But then, if you see pure gold, some people, all they live for is just things like that. Of course, we have a very good example, our former minister of petroleum, that had jewelry worth billions of naira. Just jewelry. Rings, necklace, bracelets, anklets, all those things. But for a metal to get to that point where it is so beautiful and it has that high quality and you have to spend tons of money to get it, it has been purified by fire. For you to get to that point where people appreciate you and see that you're a person of substance, you must have gone through a lot of fire. By the time you're going through that fire, it is never pleasant. It even feels like that at some point you even feel God is not with you, or God is killing you, or maybe God does not love you. So at some point you'll even doubt for a moment if it is your village, if your village people are the ones responsible. I've been through that. I didn't know it was God doing me. I thought it was okay, I don't know. Maybe I thought it was the powers of my father's house. But of course, whatever it is, if we can open up to God, there's a dimension of the word to tackle every situation. It's not my word like as fire. Fire burns. Fire consumes. Fire refines. Fire purifies. And one interesting thing about fire is that when there's fire burning, can you see flies perching around the place? At least some radius from the fire, you'll see them go. But let the fire go off, then the flies can come. Now, most of us, we have some flies perching on us today because we are not on fire for God. Because we have not allowed the word of God as fire. Because the word of God is not emanating, it's not oozing from us as fire. Now, when there is heat, some things cannot stand anymore. And that's why I remember one thing Pastor Dennis said several years ago, like 4 or 5 years ago. You know, there are things you are struggling with right now. Now you pray, you fast, it will look like nothing is happening. All you just need to do is grow. You just outgrow those things. You just look back and be like, I used to have this issue before, but I noticed I didn't have it like for the past 2 years. You just outgrow. That's why you have to thrive to keep growing and not allow anything choke the word of God in your heart. So we need the word of God as fire to consume everything that is not of God, so that will, to consume every chaff, so that only wheat can remain. You know, on Tuesday, it was on Wednesday during the prayer, when I was leading the prayer, I was talking about the different kinds of hearts. The roadside heart, which is the exposed heart, that all kinds of things can come and perch. Then next level, you know, see that progression. One is exposed. The other one, it is, there's a bit of soil and plants can grow when there is rain like this. Even on the wall, you have plants growing. But let rain stop. It withers without even thinking about it. So you have that rocky heart, which is shallow. It doesn't really take things. But then we have a dimension of God's word for that. And like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. So for every rocky heart, the word of God can actually be hammered to break things down, to increase the surface area so that the plant can have a place to stay and thrive. And like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. That is another dimension of God's word. So we have seen it as fire. And now we are seeing it as hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. So there are many... Now, many of us, okay, for like I remember that I can be a very stubborn person. Like growing up, I was that stubborn, cool guy. But don't come and look for my trouble. If I took a knife, all you just needed to do was tell me, "Oh, beada," I'll stab you and go to the police station and report myself that I've killed somebody. You know, but you go through things and you forget. There was a time slapping people was like reflex action. There was a particular girl in my church in Badagry that was always at the receiving end. It got to a point I had to go and pray to God, "God, please take this thing away. I'm tired of this thing." Like I would have slapped her before I knew what happened. It was like reflex. So there are hardened hearts that the hammer of God's word has to break. The breaking process is not also interesting, right? Like, can you imagine that the rock has... is a human being, and you are putting hammer. Remember in my intro text, there are all kinds of hammer. You know, you have, in fact, there's a rock hammer for breaking rocks. There are all kinds of hammer. Have you seen there are hammers that are not even bigger than this for doing fine stuff. Like this ring now, you can imagine there are hammers to make it into the shape it is. So now there are state of our heart that the word of God has to come like hammer to begin to deal with all those things. Now, maybe you think, you know, you get to a point, it looks like, oh, yeah, above all these troubles. Like, at this point, I can be tempted to think, I think I'm an okay person. But then God reveals something to you, and you're like, wow, you're very ashamed of yourself. Now, so this thing is still inside of me. So, it gets to that point that God has to begin to remove some intricate things. I had this senior in secondary school. You know, I never paid attention to my ears whenever I took my bath. So I don't know what just came over him, daddy. So he was just going around. He was just, he said, he just put his hand into the air like this, like cleaned it out, like, oh, yeah, a dirty boy, or things like that. It never occurred to me that when I'm taking my bath, I should even pay attention to that and clean that air out. You know, so there are many fine boys and fine girls like that, but maybe all they need is this cleaning out, just small thing. That we are not even paying attention to. Intricate, delicate things. Hallelujah. And like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. Hallelujah. So we have seen the rock as fire, as hammer. Fire and hammer. So if you need the word of God as fire today, you already know. Maybe don't even wait for me to start leading prayers. You should start praying that, "God, please, let the word consume all these things that are not befitting. These things that do not glorify you in my life." And you, maybe you know you're a very stubborn person, like I used to be. Maybe I still am in a sense. Begin to pray that, "God, please, this thing must go so that your plans." Now, the reason why the word of God, some people will bear, even when your heart is fairly good, the reason why some people will bear 30 and some will bear 60 and not 100 is because maybe there are still small rocks that have not been broken. Or there are still thorns that are still finding expression. Hallelujah. So the word of God is fire. It is hammer. Hallelujah. So can we look at 1 Peter chapter 2 from verse 1 to 3? 1 Peter 2, 1 to 3. 1 Peter 2 from 1 to 3. The word of God has, it's everything that you need. It can come in every form in which you need it to come. 1 Peter chapter 2 from verse 1. Wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, the sincere milk of the word, that he may grow thereby. That he may grow thereby. If so be, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. In fact, before I talk about this, I should actually be talking about the word of God as seed. Of course, I've been talking about that, like, a sower went to sow. And Mark 9:14 says, the seed is the word of God. So the word of God is a seed. Now for you to, if you are born again here today, you got into that because the word of God was dropped into your heart as a seed. And that is why you don't just get born again and stop there. Because all you have is a seed. You won't see the beauty of that mighty oak tree if it just remains just that seed it used to be. The reason why the church is messed up is because a lot of us have refused to grow up. Imagine you giving birth to a child and then the child is just like that. For the next 5 years, the same size, the same height, still crawling, not walking. That is exactly the portrait of many of us in the church. So when you are born again, you have just started. You have just been brought in. You need to journey. So the word of God as seed is dropped into you. But then, as newborn babes, the Bible says, desire the sincere milk. So the word of God is food, and it starts by being milk. Because a newborn baby cannot feed them with honey, for instance. They cannot handle honey. They cannot process it until after some, maybe months or something. They can't process honey. But honey is nutritious, but you don't give a baby honey. So as newborn babies, desire this itself. So you have to give them milk. And there's also another scripture that talks about meat. That I think one of the writer, maybe it was Peter or John, I don't really remember, who was saying that when you should be teaching others, you are still waiting that you should be taught. You are still dealing with milk and you are so excited with milk. You know, milk is so sweet and probably you don't want to ever leave it. Or it's so, you know, have you tasted some kind of milk? You know, there's milk and there's milk. There are milk you take and you're like, God. Cream, it's creamy. And you enjoy it. How many of you like yogurt? I like yogurt in particular. But there was this yogurt, when we newly got married, we went to Cotonou for, you know, for some time. And we took one of the best yogurts of our lives. And each time my wife remembers, she can't wait to go back and have a taste. So, there are all these dimensions. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need, I want teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and I become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Fine, there's a time you need milk, but then if you keep taking milk forever, like just milk, it's not good. You have to get to a point where you begin to handle strong meat. Now, strong, you need some teeth for strong meat. You need to break bones, and it's a progression. The seed is sown. You take milk, then you advance to strong meat, to be able to handle things like that. So the word of God is fire, it is hammer. Now we are seeing it as food, and even as being food, we see it as milk and even strong meat, bones to crack as we mature. And when Jesus was tempted in the book of Matthew chapter 4, one of the first temptation was, see, you were hungry, right? Turn this stone into bread. Could Jesus not have done that? He could have. And that is some levels we have to come into. Just like I said the other time, you know you're right, but the Holy Spirit is saying, shut up, don't say anything. Ah, I remember I did my master's in Futa for sure, and you know, anything 01 is like the key thing in that level. So at master's level, master is more like 800 level, and I took a course called MTS 801. So that's more like the most. It was a compulsory call for every master student in math department. MTS 801. Do you know what I got? 40E. Now, when you get 40E or 60B or 70A, know that you were helped. So, I'll probably have failed that course. Now, can you imagine? I'm not proud, but can you imagine that I failed a course? Or even get 40 in a course? Now, do you now know what happened? I was under serious pressure that go and meet this lecturer. That throughout my undergraduate for 5 years, I did like 40 courses. I can't count the number of other grade than A, apart from A that I got on maybe maximum 2 fingers for 5 years, 40 courses. You know, that's a very strong argument that, don't you know this person? You know, one thing in school is sometimes when people are used to you excelling, even when you perform badly, you still get A. It's called the halo effect. They are just used to you being a good person. So when you now do something bad, they can't imagine it. They just believe it's a lie until they see hard evidence. Now, under serious pressure to go and meet the teacher, another option I had was maybe next semester, write the course again and get a nice grade. Guess what? Because of that 40E, if my friend and I finished together from the department the same year, we applied to Canada, at the University of Saskatchewan, and when the listing was done, he was number one on the list, and I was number four. And they needed, and we're all qualified, right? But the funding available was going to determine who was going to be picked. So at the end of the day, probably they only had fund for only one person. That was my friend. And maybe up to two, but I know maximum it would have been three because I was not called, right? If I had not had 40E, I wouldn't have gone. I would have probably been up there and probably picked. And I lost that. It was so painful, like very painful. That was one admission and scholarship. I prayed, fasted. We had vigils. Fadaogi, we had vigils. But I thank God I had that 40, because that 40 was what I needed. Now, I got done with my PhD. If I had gone there, I wouldn't have even known. You know, doing PhD in America, if you're going to America or Canada, go after first degree. If you do masters, 3 masters before you go, when you get there, they'll still believe you don't know anything. So you have to start again. So the best time to go after first degree, just go straight, if possible. And then do their normal 5 years. That time it will be sweet because you have all the time. But if you have done 2 years of masters there and you go there and start afresh, there's a way it can make you feel somehow, you know. But now I'm done with that because I got 40E. If I had 90E or 100E or anything that, like, as my custom is, I'll still be doing the PhD. And what's the point? PhD not PhD. What's exactly the point? But North America just has this pride that, our PhD is thorough. What's the point? What's the point? I don't understand. So you see, some pressures you will go through, some constraints you will go through. It's not because you don't know what to do. Well, if the Holy Spirit is saying shut up, just shut up. Because in the long run, now in hindsight, I'm appreciating God I got 40E, which was ridiculous to tell anybody. I know if I still go out and tell, I know some of you will come and meet me that, what really happened? 40E, how? Because for me, failure is getting anything apart from 100. If I have 99, yeah, I failed. That's my definition of failure. Or maybe if I want to be a bit relaxed, I say anything apart from A is failure. For somebody, failure is F. But for me, failure is anything not that is not A. Then I got 40E and I couldn't do anything. I could do something about it, but I was told to shut up. So the devil came and told Jesus, turn this stone into bread. Jesus could easily do that. But he was wise enough to know that, see, this is not it. So there are many stones they will be tempted to turn into bread. They are going to man offices where money will be flowing. And you can easily turn stones into bread in those offices. You can convert some cash for yourself. You know, we heard the testimony of pastor's testimony. By then he would have been a big boy, but who knows what would have happened now. Like, he had access to something like $500,000 or so, like several years back when money was still money. I remember the first time I came to Akure, I came for a scholarship interview. You see, I'm this very ambitious person. I didn't want to do my first degree in Nigeria. My papa no get money to send me go to Nigerian school. Like, my parents could not afford me to send me to a Nigerian school. But I wanted to go abroad. So I came for a scholarship interview in Alagbaka. So then it was 2002. I remember then, bike from Alagbaka to Futa was 20 naira. Taxi was 10 naira. Just 2002, how many years? Like 19 years ago. But now it's like times 100? No, times 10. Over just 19 years. So Jesus could turn stone into bread, but he chose not to. So you see, the word of God can be food. Do you know the answer he gave? He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. So you see, if you are stripped of everything else, make sure the word is with you, because the word can reproduce whatever is taken away from you. It can always regenerate it. I think I'm slowing down on this. I have too many points, but I think I'll just stop where time permits. The word of God is food. Psalm 119 verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. So the word can be lamp. Lamp gives light. And a light unto my path. Have you ever tried to walk in a dark room where there are all kinds of things? Maybe there are nails and hammers, and maybe it's a work site and there's no light. Have you ever imagined walking in that kind of place when it was dark and there was no kind of light? So, you know, for you to walk successfully, you have to be careful. And no matter how careful you are, you might still put your leg on one nail or two. Okay? But then, when light comes on, you can walk faster and more confidently because you can see what is ahead. So the word of God is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. So the word gives guidance. Now, at every point in time, we need guidance. We need to know where to go. Now, a lot of people, the reason why false prophets sell a lot is because they promise people feel they can go to them and know the cost of their life. But then you have a sure word of prophecy, like Peter says, and that word is a light unto your path. It will guide you. So when your path is lit, you can know how to walk, you can know how to move, you can know how to progress, because the word of God is a lamp and it is a light. The word of God gives light and it is also light. Lamp gives light, right? And light, and it is also light itself, and a light unto my path. In verse 130 of this same chapter, Psalm 119 130, still talking about light. The entrance of thy words giveth light. Now, a lot of us are confused and stranded because we don't have light, because we have not allowed the word to penetrate into our heart. It giveth understanding unto the simple, unto those who are willing to accept it. James chapter 1, from 21 to 25. James 1, 21 to 25. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, things that don't matter, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. You know, the word is latched onto your soul and then it transforms it. In our Greek, you know, those of you who did our Greek, you know about grafting, that something is cut from a tree and put on another tree, and then over time things balance up and it becomes one tree. So the word of God latches onto your life and it takes over, colonizes your entirety, and your life becomes something else, which is able to save your souls. Verse 22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, that's a mirror. Let's go. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth the manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, so the word of God is mirror. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continue daring. You don't just look once and go. You keep looking. Like, you've looked for this morning and you have gone. Tomorrow morning, it doesn't mean that the one you looked yesterday is not enough for you today. So because probably you are dressing in a new way and you want to see if everything is in order. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth daring, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. You have to continually look. So the word of God is fire, hammer, food, light, mirror. It is also water for washing. It is seed. I've talked about that. So talked about the fact that we need light and water to make the seed of God of God's word thrive in our hearts. We need hammer to break rocky terrain and fire to consume thorny soil. The word of God is sword that can penetrate and make the power of God available to separate bone and marrow, to pierce through, to do corrective surgery upon us. The word of God is fire to purify and preserve us, food to nourish us, hammer to break us, light to guide us, mirror to show us our true state, a seed that grows in us, sword to help us launch attacks on the enemy, and water to wash us. Can we rise and pray that God, this morning, you know the state of your heart, you have an idea, and the ones you don't know about, commit it all to God, that God, help me, Jesus, to be open to the dimensions of your word that I need for my salvation, that I need for my total deliverance. Can you pray this morning that God, at every point in my life, help me, Jesus, to have the right administration of your word so I can have the hundredfold fruitfulness you want me to have. Can you pray this morning? Lida Ashara, Rekesendriha, Sapando Shehedri, Lanta Basta Feglusha, Silegestoro, Letrihaza, Broda Vishkondrihasta, Mr. Free Guste Pashto, Hudregasta Seize. Let my heart be ready to accept whatever dimension of the word I need, no matter how pleasant or unpleasant. Help me to be able to accept it. Help me not to push out anything as far as it is your dealing, as far as it is what you want for me. Help me, Jesus, to accept all the dimensions of your word in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, let it be today. We pray, Father, when we are tested by virtue of this word, we will stand strong, we will not be found wanting. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many Spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocesis every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.